WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. A not guilty verdict for an FBI agent charged with shooting a panhandler during an argument on a red line train in Bethesda 2 years ago. Eduardo Valdivia faced prison time for attempted second-degree murder for shooting Stephen Slaughter. Valdivia's attorney, Robert Bonsib, says when he heard the verdict,
"We were doing some tearing up as well, because this was a very special client who never, ever, ever should have been put in this position."
Montgomery County State's Attorney John McCarthy:
"We are disappointed with the verdict, but we respect the jury verdict in this case."
Slaughter wasn't armed and spent several days in the hospital after being shot. Planning to take Metro this weekend? Be prepared for a slow ride, but things should be better for the Monday commute.
There's no rail service between Medical Center and Twin Brook on the Red Line. The weekend shut down, allowing workers to install radio cables. Track work is causing delays on the Blue, Orange, and Silver lines. This as Metro has announced it's deploying more 7,000 series rail cars by Monday, speeding up the commute on the Red Line, with trains coming every 8 minutes during peak rush hours. Metro cautions it is dealing with a shortage of rail operators, and it's hiring aggressively. Rachel Sutherland on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Holland trash left many Fairfax and Loudoun County residents high and dry when it abruptly closed on Thursday. Today, Loudoun County has you covered. The county's offering a temporary trash drop-off service today and next Saturday. You can drop off household and yard waste at a parking lot adjacent to the ball fields at Parkview High School. You can do that from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The company's owner, Bobby Frazier, said he was forced to close his business because it faced challenges over the last few weeks that it couldn't overcome. Keys to the business are being handed over to a court-appointed trustee over the next couple of weeks. Frazier says if you're due for a credit or refund, that trustee will be taking care of that. If you're out Christmas shopping in the district, you'll be in good company. The D.C. Police Department sending out 100 recruit officers and cadets to busy areas. Chief Robert Conte:
"They will be highly visible throughout our busiest areas and will play a part in reducing opportunities for crime. But their main focus is to interact with community, focusing on sharing safety tips and making sure you have a safe and enjoyable time during this holiday season."
If you're not out shopping, you can get a chance to peek into the governor's mansion in Annapolis.
"May God bless you and your families, and may God bless the great state of Maryland."
The governor and First Lady Yumi Hogan will host their final holiday open house today at Government House, which has been decorated for the occasion with ribbons and garland. The home's decorated with paintings of the state's previous governors and first ladies, and the Hogans' official portraits will be displayed for the first time during the event. You and your family are invited to attend between 1 and 4 this afternoon.
"From my family to yours, I want to wish you all a safe, healthy, and happy holiday."
John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
WMAL Sports: millions of Americans will be on the edge of their seats today when Team USA takes on the Netherlands in round 16 at the World Cup.
Now that the group stage is over at the World Cup, there are no more draws and the stakes are clear. Win and advance to the quarterfinals, or lose and go home. For Team USA, the odds of beating the Dutch increased Friday with the news that star Christian Pulisic has been cleared to play after suffering a pelvic contusion while scoring the game-winning goal against Iran on Tuesday. The Netherlands also dealing with player fitness issues, with a flu bug working its way through the team. The Dutch not saying how many players are under the weather. The match kicks off at 10 a.m. with TV coverage on Fox. Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
Traffic and weather next. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Earlier accidents on the inner loop of the Beltway at the off-ramp to go into George Avenue cleared. The ramp has been reopened. There's a disabled vehicle on the inner loop of Telegraph Road. It's mainly confined to the left shoulder of the three lanes and blocking the right lane of the reversible lane, so just use extra caution there. Otherwise, no other incidents or delays report on the Capitol Beltway at this time. In the district, you will find a couple of street closures in place for the D.C. Holiday Market. That includes F Street between 9th Street and 7th Street Northwest, and 8th Street is closed between E Street and F Street. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Areas of moderate to heavy rain moving through the remainder of the morning hours with a midday lull. High temperatures will be in the lower 60s, tracking a cold front later this afternoon and a few gusty showers. Behind the front, much cooler, only in the 40s tomorrow with plenty of sunshine. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
53 degrees and rainy in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Now
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
The Saturday Morning Update.
It's hour two of the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi is with us each week. He is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
And you're also the chief political troublemaker this week. A little controversy. What happened?
Well, very simply, Senator Mike Braun of Indiana announced late Wednesday afternoon he would not seek re-election in 2024, but rather would run for governor of the Hoosier state. Now, immediately, this set off speculation about two members of Congress, as well as the state attorney general, seeking the all-important Republican nomination. But I talked to a couple of Republicans in Indiana, including one who is not close to former Vice President Mike Pence, but nonetheless agrees, and I quote, that if Pence were to run for the now open Senate seat, he would clear the field of Republicans and be almost a cinch to serve in the Senate. I contacted the former vice president's office, did not speak to him, but to one of his spokesmen, who did admit that he had talked to at least one House member from the state about the Senate race. Bang. What came out then was an explosive story. Newsmax had it first. And within an hour, I heard from the spokesman for Mike Pence, accused me of violating confidentiality, that I had clearly broken the agreement of off the record and on background. The problem with that is that he was not my only source, and others were discussing the possibility of Mike Pence seeking an office other than president in 2024. That upset Team Pence. And at one point, one of his spokesmen said, I'll remember this the next time you come around asking for an interview. By way of disclosure, Newsmax has interviewed Mike Pence once, only a day before, but one has to go back to before he was vice president, just find out when he sat down with us. In any event, within a few hours, the former vice president's office did give me a statement that he has no interest in the Senate and made it clear he would not be running for any office except one. This was a story that was just a few hours, but it created a lot of stormy petrol out there in the land of cyberspace.
So we turn to Kevin McCarthy. Everybody is talking about him as the incoming Speaker of the House, with the exception of about 10 Republicans who seemingly won't vote for him. What's the latest there?
Five, led by Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, have said in no uncertain terms, under no circumstances, would they vote to make Kevin McCarthy Speaker. I would also point out that the Arizonan got 31 votes against McCarthy when House Republicans sat down to designate their candidate for Speaker. That said, this coming week is going to be critical, Rick. Republicans are going to be picking the committee assignments and who will be the chairman of committees in the new House. Kevin McCarthy is a key player in this because he has weighted votes. People who opposed him, he will find out why they differ with him and see if he can offer them something to make them support him for Speaker. Will he get 218 votes on January 3rd? Probably. The last two speakers of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, and Paul Ryan, Republican, had more votes cast against them in the conference than McCarthy did when he became Speaker Designate last month. They went on to win on the first ballot. One postscript. The last time a Speaker of the House was elected on more than one ballot was 1923, when it took several votes to finally reelect Speaker Frederick W. Gillette, Republican of Massachusetts. If McCarthy misses the magic 218 or magic 217, since a Democratic member from Virginia died last week. Well, they'll just go on to another ballot. By the way, I wasn't there for the 1923 vote.
Why is it whenever political parties regain power, the first thing they do is schedule a circular firing squad?
Well, I think that they've been so out of the winner's circle for so long that they seek retribution against members rather than just joining hands. Now, again, this happened to Democrat Nancy Pelosi in 2018 when she reclaimed the Speaker's gavel before having it. But she sat down, she worked out things, smoothed a few palms out there with committee assignments, and she was reelected on the House floor.
Well, that's the House. We still got a Senate seat open. What's the latest on Walker versus Warnock?
Well, Democrats seem to not want to leave any stone unturned in the last Senate race of 2022. Senator Raphael Warnock, who won a special election 2 years ago, is vying for a full term. Georgia is the only state, by the way, in which a candidate who does not get a majority goes into a runoff with the second highest vote getter. In this case, that's Republican Herschel Walker. Now, while not going to Georgia, Joe Biden himself worked a phone bank for his fellow Democrat Warnock. Barack Obama has made an appearance, and just about every Democratic visiting fireman is on the brigade coming to the Peach State on behalf of the embattled senator. One poll has Warnock ahead by 4 points over Herschel Walker. And indeed, the turnout in early voting broke all records in Georgia, more than 1 million mailing in their ballot or going to vote at selected places early on. How does this look? Well, all these signs favor a narrow win by Warnock. But again, we don't know who's turning out. Republican Congressman Buddy Carter said his wife proudly went to the polls, waited 2 hours just to vote for Herschel. We'll know in a few days.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. And remember, I don't get ulcers. I just give them.
That's John Gizzi, of course. 7:16 Saturday morning update on WMAL. Cheryl Atkison coming up next. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer in detail about the Twitter documents released last night by Elon Musk. KT McFarland will join us between now and 8 o'clock as well. So a lot to go on the Saturday morning update. Right now, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Overall, traffic is moving well along the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. The earlier accident on the inner loop at the off-ramp to Georgia Avenue now cleared away. Off-ramp has been reopened. And on the inner loop at Telegraph Road, there was a disabled vehicle that was affecting the left shoulder of the main lanes, and the reversible right lane was closed, so just use extra caution there. That is not causing any delays at this time. You may still find some accident activity in the district on New York Avenue at Florida Avenue. Getting reports of an incident now on 270 northbound before Shady Grove Road, so use extra caution there. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Areas of moderate to heavy rain moving through the remainder of the morning hours with a midday lull. High temperatures will be in the lower 60s, tracking a cold front later this afternoon and a few gusty showers. Behind the front, much cooler, only in the 40s tomorrow with plenty of sunshine. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
48 degrees, 7:17, Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Know the news the minute you wake up. O'Connor and Company with Larry O'Connor, 5 to 9 a.m. on WMAL.
The Saturday morning update continues. Each week we are joined by Cheryl Atkison, Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist and the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. Morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
You have a story, and it's an important story, about a drug, and it affects a lot of people, and I've never even heard of the drug.
Well, a lot of people haven't heard of gabapentin, but now that I've said the name, if you start asking around, maybe your dog is taking it, maybe your mother is taking it, you'll start to find that a lot of people are taking this drug. It is now one of the most widely prescribed drugs in America, kind of crept up on us. And most of the prescriptions are for uses not approved by the FDA, called off-label use. And, you know, that's perfectly legal, but there are questions about it because there are questions as to whether gabapentin may be addictive. You'll hear about that Sunday on Full Measure. There are also questions about its role in the opioid epidemic and with opioid deaths. Now, this is a drug that was approved for some very specific things. I think one of them was seizure. One of them was a very particular kind of nerve pain. But doctors are trying it for all kinds of things, like even anxiety and chronic pain that's undefined and just all kinds of things. So there are questions about whether it should be more controlled, whether it is something that's almost a gateway to opioids or helps amplify the impact of opioids for people who may be abusing the drug. And one interesting stat I found out, Rick, was up to either 10% to 25% of all people who die of opioids, a presumed opioid death, also have this drug gabapentin in their bloodstream or in their body when they die. So it shows you there's a scientific relationship between the abuse of opioids and the potential abuse of gabapentin.
Wow. Something you said, Cheryl, it sounded like the drug was sort of the wild, wild west.
Well, you know, it's long been the case where doctors have the latitude to take a legally approved drug that's approved for one purpose and use their discretion to try it on something else with a particular patient they know. That's called off-label use. What's so unusual is that almost all the prescriptions for gabapentin are for off-label use. It is very seldom used for the approved disorder and is primarily used for other things that doctors are trying. And this may be very helpful to some people, but what it shows you is it's being used for things that it's not proven safe and effective to treat. So you're sort of taking a chance, hoping it will help someone who is in terrible pain or maybe has some other problem. Maybe this helps them. That could be a good thing. There's just some concern because so much of it is going out the door and there's just not enough controls, according to some watchdogs, considering that it could be addictive and it could be abused.
Cryptocurrency Bitcoin in the headlines with the collapse of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. And Bitcoin brings up a lot of questions that a lot of people don't understand. One of the terms we hear about a lot is Bitcoin mining. Can you help us understand exactly how that works?
Well, I will try. And I'm always trying to figure out more about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Maybe it's my generation that's having a little trouble with it, but I've researched it a lot. And the story Sunday on Full Measure is going to talk about a very specific angle, which is to create Bitcoin, which doesn't exist in a physical form. It's, I guess, an e-currency, but a cryptocurrency. But to create it, they call it mining, Bitcoin mining. They're not really digging for anything or turning up real coins or making coins. This is a computerized process. To create Bitcoin, as part of the process set up by the anonymous creators of Bitcoin, computers have to work to solve complicated equations. So let's say I want to make money. I want to make a Bitcoin that gets put on the market. I might program a computer a certain way and try to solve these complex problems that have been pre-programmed in there by the anonymous creator. And if I'm successful, I get a Bitcoin, or I may get a Bitcoin in reward that could be very valuable, $16,000, $60,000, whatever's going for at the moment. So there's a whole industry of people who buy these supercomputers that calculate constantly trying to mine or create Bitcoins and get that reward. So the controversy we're addressing on Sunday is it takes a lot of power. By their design, these calculations are increasingly difficult as time goes on, and they're taking more computers that require more power. So enter waste coal, the waste product from burning coal or from coal plants, the parts that they can't use. This is piled up. It could be toxic, could be bad, but they have waste coal plants where they thought, gee, we can start burning the waste coal in a special way to power the supercomputers to provide energy and make money from Bitcoin. And there are these investors doing such a thing. We're going to go to one of those plants on Sunday in Full Measure. Controversy exists because it uses up so much power and that the waste coal plants can be polluting as they operate that environmentalists are saying this is all a big waste of energy and they have a whole problem with Bitcoin in the first place because of that, but particularly the waste coal plan to generate energy that way. Sounds complicated, but it's actually a very fun story tomorrow. We're on site at one of these plants, and you'll learn a lot more about how this works and why it is controversial.
One of the big questions that affects all of us is when it comes to IRS tax audits, who gets audited and who doesn't? And you look into that tomorrow.
Well, yeah, there was a report done by a federal watchdog, and I interviewed him to ask, you know, what really was the bottom line? Because the question was, is the IRS going after, this was sort of the accusation, a lot of small potatoes, ordinary people, but skipping the audits of the multimillionaires, meaning picking on the wrong people where there's very little reward and letting the fat cats go? Well, the watchdog said that's not necessarily the case, or there's reasons behind they do why they do what they do. But we're going to look at the trends and see who it is that gets audited the most. And we asked the question, I don't think we know all the answers yet, but with the Inflation Reduction Act, you may recall, they're going to hire so many more IRS workers. They've gotten something like $80 billion to do all this new hiring. So many more people working for the federal government, for the IRS, it absolutely means there are going to be more audits. And people want to know, does that mean you're going to audit, you know, specific people, lower middle income, I guess you would say, middle income people more than the people that you really stand to gain from if they're gaming the system? Does this mean more people are going to pay their taxes? And as an aside, Rick, I've been thinking, with all the cost of hiring those new agents, you know how many violators they would have to find every year to even justify the cost of their salary, billions and billions of dollars it costs to hire them? It's not financially feasible, it seems to me. If you're looking at it from a money standpoint, you're not going to get as much money back, or you're not likely to, as you're expending to expand that workforce. But that's exactly what's happening right now with the IRS.
Unbelievable. That's all tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. And check out Cheryl's store. Some great gift ideas at CherylAtkison.com, all for a good cause, too. Cheryl, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
And you, too. It is 7:25, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is coming up, KT McFarland, and we'll have a lot more on the Twitter document release last night. You're going to want to hear this. The Saturday morning update continues. I'm Rick Fowler. A story that's going to get a lot of play on conservative media, likely to be buried on the more liberal and progressive media outlets. Elon Musk dropping a trove of information last night about how Twitter suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story ahead of the 2020 presidential election. He says he's not done yet. He's going to release more documents today. And among the highlights, kind of the way this went down last night, he's working with Matt Taibbi, who was an investigative reporter. And Matt was on Twitter and released a series of tweets. And I'll just run through a couple of these for you so you can get a sense of what's going on. October 14th, 2020, the New York Post published Biden's secret emails, an expose based on the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Smoking gun email reveals how Hunter Biden introduced his father, Joe Biden, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm less than a year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine. Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool that had previously been reserved for extreme cases such as child pornography. The decision was made at the highest levels of the company, but without the knowledge of the CEO, Jack Dorsey. Quote, they just freelanced it. That's how one former employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse, but within a few hours, pretty much everyone realized that wasn't going to hold. But no one had the guts to reverse it. He also said that Twitter as a social media app eventually regressed from an arena of free expression to a sphere dominated by tools for controlling speech. Slowly over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well. First a little, then more often, then constantly.
He added the Twitter file showed at least one occasion where the Biden team instructed Twitter employees to remove politically inconvenient content in October of 2020, just weeks before Joe Biden was elected president. We'll talk more about it with Tony Schaefer next. First, Heather Curtis is in the WMAL newsroom.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. An FBI agent will not be spending time behind bars after a jury found him not guilty of second-degree murder yesterday. Eduardo Valdivia was charged after he shot Stephen Slaughter, a panhandler, during an argument on a Red Line train in 2020. His attorney, Robert Bonsib.
This is 100% self-defense. He was trying to save his life.
Montgomery County State's Attorney John McCarthy says he's disappointed with the verdict, but respects it.
I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I never thought this was an easy case, but I think there was a real legal issue to be determined.
McCarthy argued Slaughter wasn't armed. Some good news if you live in Loudoun County and were a customer of Holland Trash. If you have trash piling up because the company closed without any warning on Thursday, you can drop it off today at Parkview High School. And next Saturday, you'll be charged $7 and you may need to hit up the ATM before you go because only cash is accepted. You can bring household and yard waste to the parking lot adjacent to the ball fields. Drop-off hours are 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., you cannot drop off bulk pickup or commercial waste. Twitter CEO Elon Musk says the company interfered in the 2020 presidential election by censoring the Hunter Biden story published just weeks before voters went to the polls. Kentucky Republican Congressman James Corner's gearing up to investigate Biden and his father, President Biden. He tells Fox News.
Every employee at Twitter who was involved in suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story will have an opportunity to come before Congress and explain their actions to the American people.
President Biden denies any involvement in his son's foreign business dealings. The White House says it's keeping an eye on Twitter for misinformation. An unexpected Facebook post on the Rockdale County Sheriff's Office's page. A convicted felon wanted for violating his probation responded to a post listing the department's top 10 most wanted and asking why he wasn't on that list. The sheriff's office responded, "You're correct, we're on our way," and quickly arrested him. WMAL Sports, millions of Americans will be on the edge of their seats today when Team USA takes on the Netherlands in round 16 at the World Cup. Game time, 10 a.m. Traffic and weather next. Traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Problems on the Beltway on the inner loop at 355. All four lanes are closed due to an accident involving a jackknife tractor trailer. So this could be in the roadway for some time. So you will want to allow extra travel time or plan an alternate route at this time. Earlier disabled vehicle on the inner loop at Telegraph Road, just on the left shoulder of the through lanes. Just use extra caution there. In the district, a portion of 1st Street is closed between G Place and K Street. That due to utility work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Areas of moderate to heavy rain moving through the remainder of the morning hours with a midday lull. High temperatures will be in the lower 60s, tracking a cold front later this afternoon and a few gusty showers. Behind the front, much cooler, only in the 40s tomorrow with plenty of sunshine. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
Right now, 53 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
It is the Saturday morning update. We're at 7:37. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the host of the Thought to Action podcast, the author of Operation Dark Heart, and the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Always great to be here.
One thing I can't say about you is that you're a member of Twitter at this point.
No, I'm still suspended permanently. So we'll see if it's permanent or not. But I know a lot of folks are trying to get me back on there. But yes, I was purged as part of the purge. And the day I started trolling Ray Epps, the day I started pointing out that Ray Epps was on the most wanted list, and I got him to respond, I was banned later that day. It was like linked directly to my mentioning Ray Epps and his potentially being a Fed. Just saying.
So the reason I mention this is if you're just joining us this morning, may not have heard the news last night. Elon Musk dropped a trove of information last night, and it all involves the Twitter suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story, and it also outlines the communications between the Democratic National Committee and Twitter, and the requests of the DNC and the Biden campaign as well to kill certain stories on Twitter. We found that Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary's personal account, was suspended at that time because she tried to link to the New York Post story about the Hunter Biden laptop. So that's what's going on. A lot of information out there. If you go to Elon Musk's Twitter account, you can see it all laid out there. He says he will release more today. And Tony, as you look at the big picture, put this in perspective from your standpoint, especially you having been suspended from Twitter.
So I think there's three things that people fundamental to this article. New York Post is not a right-wing or left-wing paper. It's pretty neutral. I think it puts out facts. They were attacked and suspended because of this factual article. Secondly, this all roads lead back to Joe Biden. Look, nobody's going to be able to dispute now the direct link between the Democrats and the Twitter leadership regarding this affecting the outcome of an election. There's absolutely zero doubt on that. And that's also reflected today, Rick, by who is carrying this story. I mean, I just did kind of a quick survey of what's out there. Politico's not covering it. NBC, CBS, they're all ignoring it because this goes against what they politically believe. So this is a big bellwether regarding who's actually a news outlet and who's not. And last, I think we've talked about this amongst ourselves here in our audience. I had direct knowledge of the Hunter Biden hard drive. I knew because of the people involved. I was able to speak to JP. I knew the guys who took it to the FBI on his behalf. You know, I had direct knowledge. Yet during that time, it's a national security issue. I was trying to say, based on my professional experience of over 30 years, this is real. I was suppressed, which means that anything that I said as a professional was deleted. That affected my First Amendment rights. I think I've got a right to sue someone over this if I ever decided to. And more importantly, your audience and our discussions were hampered by a political party tied to big tech to prevent the truth from getting out. That's what it was. And so those three things, I think, are fundamentally the most important elements of this story that cannot be disputed at this point. And yet we're not seeing a nationwide discussion on how dangerous this really is.
You mentioned the lack of coverage in the mainstream media on this.
Yeah.
I've had CNN on the background since 5 a.m. this morning, and I glance over there every 30 seconds to a minute to see if they're mentioning the story. They have not mentioned it at all on the air.
Yeah.
Finally, there's a headline that's kind of midway down the page. It's not a headline, really. It's just kind of buried in the more top stories list of stories. The way they spin it here, okay? Released Twitter emails show how employees debated how to handle 2020 New York Post Hunter Biden story, not how former employees suppressed the story. They use the term debated. I mean, it's just, you know, they're going to try and whitewash this thing everywhere.
No, they debated how they were going to lie and make up new rules. That's what they debated. They didn't debate the idea of suppressing it. They were all in. I mean, this is the level of dishonesty in today's media, Rick. I mean, it's amazing that these people somehow believe that they're still members of the media and not an extension of the Democrat Party, which they clearly are affiliated with.
You know, the irony is all of the claims of collusion about the Trump campaign in 2016, all of those collusion claims that were not proven, now you've got these documents coming out showing collusion between the DNC, the Biden campaign, and Twitter. At least that's what these documents appear to be showing, and Elon Musk has promised even more to come out later today.
Yeah, I think we're going to see this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think this is salacious in a good way in that it does demonstrate what we all kind of knew from observing the events of that period. But the next thing obviously has to be in my mind, who's going to get criminally charged for this? I mean, again, there's layers to the accountability that needs to happen. The government did, in fact, kind of create the circumstance by going out and briefing Twitter and Facebook that, oh, there may be Russian disinformation out there. And of course, these knuckleheads jumped on that. I'm sure that's going to be their defense. Well, the government said. So that, to me, right there is, you can't do that. That does provide the predicate for suppressing free speech, period. And you can't have that. So the moment the government does that, that becomes illegal. Secondly, obviously, is the link between the campaign and Twitter. And obviously, one of my concerns remains, Rick, and we've talked about this, is the potential justification. I think this is justification, but the potential for using it, the justification for the impeachment of Joe Biden, because part of what they wanted to keep out of the public view was the Hunter Biden trips with Joe Biden while he was vice president, and of course the deals that came out of those trips, which now I think there's ample evidence that Joe Biden materially benefited from while in office, which is an impeachable offense.
One of the Republican congressmen indicating last night that the plan is to bring in many, many of the Twitter senior level employees who are involved in this, bring them in for hearings in Washington. So they are going to get hit with legal fees at a minimum right there. And it's just mind-boggling when you think that this could have changed the outcome of the election.
Well, I think it did, Rick. I'm just going to say, no, it did. I mean,
polls say it did.
Yeah. So this was part of a larger effort that the left has admitted to. And again, you know, when you have nine tenths of your senior leaders are essentially loyalists to a political party, you're not going to get neutrality in big tech. And that's the danger, that clearly this technology was abused for political purposes in ways that we kind of suspected, but they kept lying and saying, oh, no, it's just your imagination, massive gaslighting. So, again, this is something that cannot be ignored. And I just can't believe the other political party in this nation, both political parties, aren't screaming for some level of resolution, because this technology cannot be in the hands of either party to be abused to this level. So,
actor James Woods is a member of your club, kicked off Twitter. And
yeah.
Woods was on the Fox News Channel last night. He promised that he would file a suit against the DNC for colluding. And, you know, they apparently targeted him and had him knocked off.
He has threatened
a lawsuit. And he is threatening to kind of organize a class action lawsuit. So this could get very, very interesting. Even if they're not criminal charges, it could get very interesting in the courts.
The big thing, obviously, to me is not to go after Elon Musk, because, you know, he's the guy in charge now and you don't want to make life miserable for him. But you got to get to the folks who did it. And that would mean Jack Dorsey, even though he's, you know, it's like he was in charge, even though he wasn't technically part of this. And obviously, Viaj God or whatever her name is, she's the one that really needs to be held to account based on the fact she was just making these arbitrary and clearly political decisions and then lying and saying she wasn't. So,
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Thought to Action podcast. What's up this weekend?
So we're going to be talking more about China. We've had a number of things reviewing kind of what's going on out there. My board asked me to do some more on that, so you can look for some more content on China, plus some stuff on what's going on with COVID. Dr. Steve Hatfield, our virologist, will be going through some stuff this coming week to talk about some of the effects that are happening from those who are apparently vaccinated, and how they are the ones actually kind of the incubators of the changing virus, which is very dangerous. So we'll look forward to that.
And you'll find Tony's podcast at londoncenter.org. Tony, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick.
7:47, KT McFarland next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
An accident now being reported on 395 northbound just south of Seminary Road, blocking the right lane and the right shoulder, so use extra caution there. There's also an accident in Bethesda on the inner loop of the Beltway at 355, where the two left lanes are blocked with a jackknife tractor-trailer accident. Traffic is jammed up from Old Georgetown Road. And watch out for the disabled on the inner loop at Telegraph Road in the left shoulder of the through lanes and the reversible right lane. In Kensington, a portion of Beach Drive is closed between Connecticut Avenue and Knowles Avenue for recreational activities this weekend. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Areas of moderate to heavy rain moving through the remainder of the morning hours with a midday lull. High temperatures will be in the lower 60s, tracking a cold front later this afternoon and a few gusty showers. Behind the front, much cooler, only in the 40s tomorrow with plenty of sunshine. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
49 degrees, the nation's capital, 748, Saturday morning update. 7:50, it's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. K.T. McFarland joins us, President Trump's Deputy National Security Advisor, a board member of the American Conservative Union, and the author of the best-selling book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. K.T., always honored to have you on the program.
Honor and a pleasure for me, too.
Thank you. And, you know, you always bring a unique perspective on issues that are important to us. And a Republican icon made some comments this week, and they could have been lost. They could have just sort of been buried in all of the news going on. But it stood out to you. And what is it about that that stands out?
Yeah, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, extremely successful legislator, and really one of the big thinkers in the country, certainly in the Republican Party, and a guy who never pulls his punches. I mean, he loves to sort of stir things up. Well, he wrote this week that the Republicans need to wake up to the threat posed by Biden and big government socialism. We keep telling ourselves that the country is against what Biden's doing, the stagnant economy, inflation, wokeism, massive spending on a far-left socialist agenda. But, you know, we failed, right? The midterms did not deliver the victory Republicans assumed would fall into their laps. And so Gingrich was pretty blunt about it. He said, if you look at it from Biden's perspective, not that we like anything that he's done, but he has been pretty successful in delivering on his agenda. And Republicans need to reassess from the ground up what we stand for and how we plan to defeat socialism, because we can't just keep doing it. If we couldn't win an election in this circumstance, then we're doing something very wrong.
Well, you know, you've got the GOP, and you look at some of the candidates, and we haven't had some of the strongest candidates in the congressional and Senate races, but what about the presidential run?
You know, here's what's interesting. So there are a lot of qualified people who are positioning themselves to run for president. They're really well qualified. They're, you know, experts in a lot of things. They have a lot of experience. And even though there's Republican control of the House, well, it's only a slim majority, not clear they're going to do what we hope they would do. And I guess what I look at and say, you know, where is the agreement in all this? A lot of people running for president, a lot of voices in the Republican Party on Capitol Hill. But the one thing everybody seems to agree on is policy, right? It's agreement on energy policy. It's agreement on foreign policy, with some exceptions maybe for the Ukraine war. But it's an agreement on a strong national military. It's an agreement on the social issues and the economic issues. And so what I would hope that Republicans can do is don't let yourselves be defined by the Democrats' agenda. The Democrats want to always say, well, do you think that Trump won the last election or not? And so then the conversation gets veered off into an election that is now in the rearview mirror for most Americans. And far more important to let the country know, what do we stand for if Republicans ever get power again? Because the platform, the agenda of whoever the next Republican presidential candidate is will be pretty much the same, no matter who the candidate is. And so I think that Gingrich he's onto the right idea that we need to figure out what we're for and give the country a reason to put us back into power. But the way we can do that now, instead of waiting for the Republican primary season, kind of losing another year, is to scope out and pretty much identify whether it's Republican presidential candidates, whether it's Republicans in Congress, whether it's the various Republican National Committee, the various conservative organizations, Heritage Foundation, et cetera, map out what the important issues are to the day.
Lay out some of the important issues as you see them.
Well, I think the pretty obvious one is American energy independence. American energy independence means supporting an American domestic energy industry. So stop President Biden's war on fossil fuels and to restart the American energy industry. It turns out that through the good fortune of what Providence has given us and the ingenuity and entrepreneurial ability of American scientists and geologists and entrepreneurs, et cetera, we've found a way to get oil and natural gas out of rocks. And it turns out that we have the best rocks in any other country in the world. So restart that American energy industry. It's not only good for our economy because it gives us a business that all the world wants, the export of energy. The world needs energy. It gives us the ability to be the leader, I mean, to be the dominant area in the world to replace the Middle East, to replace Russia as the world's dominant source of energy. And it's good for our national security because by making America the energy source for the world, it belittles the power of an Iran, of Russia, of other countries that have a very different agenda for the world than we do. And frankly, it's terrific for the environment. You know, the Green New Deal that Biden has sold as an infrastructure, it's just massive spending for some of his pet projects. And look, even if it were to work, I don't think it'll work, but even if it were to work, it's going to take years, if not decades, to transfer the United States and the rest of the world from fossil fuels to renewables. So what do you do for the period in between then and now? You need a bridge, and the bridge is cheap, clean, abundant, safe American natural gas. So that should be number one on the lips of any Republican talking about American energy independence. Stop Biden's war on fossil fuels. Number two, curb the abuse of power by the FBI and the Department of Justice. What we're about to see in the next couple of weeks and probably months is the Twitter scandal, which promises to become an even bigger story of how the social media has become a tool for the Democratic Party and big government. They interfered in the 2020 election by suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story. They censor Republicans. They censor conservatives. They fan the flames of domestic division, keeping us at each other's throats for their own profits. That should be an issue. Three, go after that woke agenda. It's turning our education system into an indoctrination family, and it affects every family in the country. And number four, rebuild the military. We now have statistics. The American people now, less than half of the American people have confidence in the abilities of the military. They don't trust the military. That's always a dangerous position to be in when the far-left Democrats are in charge because they'll always cut defense spending in favor of spending for their pet projects. But even more so now that the Democrats and the current military emphasizes the woke agenda over our war-fighting capabilities. So I think those four are a good place to start. American energy independence, abuse of power by the Justice Department, go after that woke agenda and rebuild the American military. And I would love to hear from people, what do they think should be on the agenda as well?
Well, I would love for people who are on Capitol Hill, some of the staffers tuned in this morning, and even some of the congressmen and senators that listen, I would encourage them to check out our podcast this weekend so you can hear what KT just said, hear it again, and distribute that amongst your colleagues, because I think you just laid out a very successful approach to 2024. So, KT McFarland, thank you so much. And, of course, KT, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. You have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Rick.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense coming up this afternoon at 1.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.